16. We have been studying the friends of the Apostle Paul, and we began with a short introduction to Paul because we could have certainly spent many months on the person of Paul, but we decided to focus on the friendships that he had. We began with Barnabas, and we spent a couple weeks looking at Joseph, the son of consolation, Barnabas. We looked at John Mark, and we saw that John Mark is a very important person that's in our New Testament. Of course, John Mark, he wrote the Gospel of Mark, but before he did those things, the Bible tells us that he backed out on the Apostle Paul, and Paul and Barnabas had a little bit of a conflict over that, but as it turned out, the Lord used Mark. We looked at the person of Silas, and we saw that Silas is a man that was used of God on Paul's second missionary journey. And that just seems to be the only time that we see Silas is in that second missionary journey. And then tonight, I want to speak about one of the most important people that were associated with Paul, and his name is Timothy. And I want to deal with Timothy, and we'll deal with this in more than one sermon, because there's so much that we could speak about Timothy. And Acts chapter 16, it tells us in verse 1, "Then came he..." This is after Paul and Barnabas went different directions. "So then came he," or Paul, "to Derbe and Lystra. And behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus." And we're going to look at this person, Timothy. And of course, when studying Timothy, he is a longtime associate with the Apostle Paul, as opposed to Barnabas, who only went on one missionary journey, or Silas, who went on the second missionary journey. We're going to see that Timothy was associated with Paul all the way through his ministry, even up to the time of death. And that being the case, we find that he probably was the closest associate that Paul had, except for possibly Luke. And we see that in the scriptures he's associated with no less than six of Paul's epistles. He's the only one that had two letters written specifically to him. And of course that's what? 1 and 2 Timothy. And he always spoke of him as in a very affectionate way, and he always praised him. Now, there's so much that we can learn from Timothy, and I'm just tonight going to deal with three things. First of all, his background. We're going to see his conversion, and then we're going to see his missionary call. So let's look here at Timothy this evening. First of all, his background. Now, we're told in chapter 16, verse 1, that when Paul came to Derbe and Lystra, and when you look at this closely, there seems to favor the idea that Timothy was from Lystra. And it's interesting because it tells us that it was in Lystra. If you look at verse 2, "The brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium," which were two close cities, "they were the ones that recommended Timothy." Now, if you were to look at a map, and again, I suppose I could bring a map up here, but if you have a map in your Bible, you'll see that there's Derbe, and there's Lystra, and there's Iconium, and it's all within a region of an area called Lycaonia. And in that passage, you'll see that that he was recommended by those from Lystra and Iconium. And also, it's interesting because, and again, not all manuscripts are this way, but there's some manuscripts that will specifically mention when it says in verse 1, he came to Derbe and Lystra, it could be understood as came to Derbe and to Lystra, where all these things took place. So it's mostly understood that Timothy was from that area. If you look over to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, and you'll see in verse 11, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 11, how Paul mentions to Timothy. He says in verse 11, he spoke about his persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. So many understand, therefore, that Timothy was from Lystra. Now, what about his home? It's interesting because we're told here that he had a home where he was the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess and believed. Now, it doesn't say and, but it says, what's the next word? But. So in other words, there's an indication here when it says his father was a Greek. And in verse 3, at the end of that verse, they knew that his father was a Greek. That he basically was somebody who was a Greek, but was not a believer. So there's a good chance that Timothy came from a mixed family. Mixed in the sense that one was a Jew and one was not a Jew, but in the words of the biblical writings, he was a pagan or a heathen. Now, it's interesting that Alexander White, in his Bible Characters from the New Testament, plays out this scenario. And I wanted to read this to you because it's interesting how he talks about the home of Timothy. Now, he speaks about his grandmother, Lois, which we know his grandmother's name, we know his mother's name. But he said they were God-fearing women. But with all that being said regarding Lois, the grandmother, she made the tremendous mistake of giving her only daughter in marriage to a man that was still an absolute heathen. How such a good woman... How two such good women, talking about the mother and grandmother, could have fallen into this tremendous trap? He says, we can only guess. But then, we can guess, eh? And that only too well. For Eunice's lover, like so many of our own lovers, would begin to attend the synagogue services for her sweet sake, till he was almost persuaded to become a proselyte of the gate for her sweet sake. And but for some pagan and overpowering influences holding him back under the transforming influence of Lois's noble character and Eunice's holy beauty, he would surely have become all that Lois and Eunice prayed for so unceasingly that he might become before the marriage. But let Lois only give her consent. Let Lois only give her dear daughter to him in marriage, and she will never have to repent putting her great trust in his hands. So the young Greek lover was not a false-hearted and a designing cheat in so saying. He really and honestly intended, after he was married, to live a godly husband's life. He said so, and Lois and Eunice believed him. And Alexander Wright says, I believe him, because so many times people play the part. Well, he goes on and says that at last, when she could hold out no longer, Lois gave her long-withheld consent to the mixed marriage. And in this way, Eunice, a daughter of Abraham, became the married wife of the still heathen man, his wife, and in due time, the mother of his uncircumcised sons. And he became her husband and her lord and the father of her children, still remaining all the time the same heathen man he'd always been. Now, of course, he's adding some things that certainly the scripture doesn't say, but you can almost imagine what it's like when someone says, well, I love him, Daddy. You know, why can't I marry him? Well, the fact is, sometimes you make those kind of decisions and you learn to regret it. Doesn't the Bible tell us don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers? Now, it's also possible that the father had died with the idea of the word in verse 3, he was a Greek. So if that's the case, then certainly the speculation about the mixed marriage would not necessarily be true. But nonetheless, we have to understand that this is the kind of a home. Either Timothy grew up in a home where his daddy didn't really follow the Jewish religion and his mother and grandmother did, or he was raised in a fatherless home. But that's the background of the home of Timothy. Now, we also see not only his birthplace, his home, but we see his mother and his grandmother in 2 Timothy chapter 1. Now, 2 Timothy chapter 1, it tells us about his mother and grandmother. Now, what do we see revealed about Timothy here? Well, Paul, in writing to Timothy, says in verse 5, "When I call to remember the unfeigned faith that is in thee." Now, the word unfeigned, does anyone know what that means? What's that? Not fake, unhypocritical. You know, there's people that are hypocrites, but they were not hypocrites. They were unhypocritical, and they had an unhypocritical faith. Paul says, "Timothy, you had that, which first dwelt in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded in thee also." So as a result, we see his upbringing was one with a godly mother and grandmother. Now, we see that in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. And we're told that from a child, Paul writes to Timothy, "Thou hast known the Holy Scriptures." And it says here that that Timothy grew up knowing the Scriptures. Actually, the word Scriptures there is also could be translated as sacred letters. And one writer suggested that Timothy may have learned the alphabet by learning the letters of the scriptural alphabet, and first learned to read by the Bible. Now, I've seen people, I knew of a fella that when I was young in the Lord, this individual could not read. But he learned to read by reading the Bible, because he got saved, or at least he claimed to be saved, and had a desire to know the Bible. Now, that's an interesting thing. And the scripture tells us that from a child, Timothy was constantly being read the scriptures. And it's important to understand that you know, when we have our children or our grandchildren, it's important that we sit around and read and help them know the scriptures. They need to know the Bible. And that's inconvenient, isn't it? Because sometimes it interferes with the football game, or sometimes it interferes with some activity that I'm wanting to do. But Timothy, from a child, had learned the scriptures. And interestingly enough, it tells us that which will make thee wise, verse 15, unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So it's important to understand that the reason why you want people to get into the scripture is because it will make them wise unto salvation. How do we know that? Because in Romans 10, verse 17, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's why when we're witnessing to somebody, we want to have a Bible there. We want to show them the Scripture, because it's that Scripture that can make them wise unto salvation. So we have a young man who was born In Lystra, probably, his home had probably a mixed marriage. He had a godly mother and grandmother, which made sure that he heard and listened and learned the Bible. And of course, we're talking about the Old Testament. So he knew these. That is his background. Secondly, I want you to see his conversion. Now, it's important to understand that Timothy's conversion happened, and just to give you an idea, he probably was between 18 to 25 years of age. And one writer says probably between 20 and 22. So he was a very young man. Now, when we come to Acts 16, if you come back over there, you'll see that in Acts chapter 16, that this was not the first time that Paul was introduced to Timothy. Because it says in chapter 16, and then he came to Derbe and Lystra, and what's the next word? Behold. This is important, Luke is telling us. That there was a certain what? Disciple. So now he is now a saved person. But this was on Paul's second missionary journey. So when did Timothy get saved? Now, it's important to understand that you can say, well, maybe Timothy got saved as a young person. But we find several scriptures that tell us that Paul says, Timothy, you're my son. So, for instance, in 1 Corinthians 4:17, for this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2 says to Timothy, my son in the faith. In chapter 1 of 1 Timothy, verse 18, I commit unto thee, son Timothy. And he goes on. We're told in 2 Timothy 1:2, he's called, Paul says he is my beloved son. So what this is telling us is that Paul led him to the Lord. Now, isn't that an interesting thing? His parents raised him up in the scriptures. But he didn't get saved until he was introduced to Paul. And since he had already been a disciple by Acts chapter 16, so when did he meet Paul? It would have been on that first missionary journey. And that's where I want you to go. Look over with me to chapter 14. And in chapter 14, we see when Paul first comes to Lystra. In verse 6, they were aware of it and fled into Lystra and Derbe. And look at verse 8. And there sat a certain man of Lystra, impotent in his feet. So he was a cripple. And we're told in verse 9, having heard Paul speak, perceiving that he had faith to be healed, Paul said with a loud voice, stand upon thy feet. And he leaped and walked. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of the Laconia, the gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. And of course, this is where they called Barnabas Jupiter, Paul Mercurius. You know, these guys are gods. And verse 14, Paul and Barnabas rent their clothes and said, don't worship us, we're not gods. And we're told in verse 18, and with these sayings, they scarce restrained the people that they had done sacrifice to them. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. And this is when Paul was taken up for dead. And now notice it tells us, howbeit as the disciples stood around about him, he arose up, came to the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas, then went to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel, verse 21, They had taught many. They returned again to Lystra, into Iconium and Antioch. Now, very interesting thing that you'll see there in verse 20. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him. Timothy could have been one of those. And somewhere along the line, Timothy was led to the Lord by Paul. And that was the first missionary journey. And of course, Paul goes on and they leave. And about over a year later is when we come to chapter 16. So we see the events. And that's why, if you remember the verse that I showed you in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 11, if you look over there again, we saw this before, but 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 11, and Paul says in verse 10, thou, speaking about Timothy, hast fully known my doctrine, and you also, verse 11, know my persecutions, you know my afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, and what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. So Paul said, you know, Timothy, you remember that? Now, it's possible that's when we see his mother comes to God as well, and probably when his grandmother possibly were saved. Because Paul came, and it tells us that he preached the gospel. And when he preached the gospel to them, if you look at verse 7 of chapter 14, you don't need to go back, but Acts 14, verse 7, there they preached the gospel. Now, folks, listen to me. People need to hear the gospel. And if we don't know what the gospel is, we need to figure that out and get that into the minds of others. And so Timothy was converted. Now, I want to take you to another verse, 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12. And here, Paul tells Timothy, he says, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and has professed a good profession before many what? So in other words, most understand this to be at his baptism. You know, sometimes people wonder, you know, why we have somebody give their testimony. Because it tells others that you have been saved. And when somebody gets baptized, we say, okay, do you know Christ as your Savior? Yes. When were you saved? Well, it tells us here in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12 that at his baptism he professed a good profession. So not only did he get saved in Lystra in Acts chapter 14, and then he gets converted and gave a wonderful testimony. Notice and check, go back to Acts 16 again. I'm jumping you around, aren't I? Acts chapter 16. And it tells us that here comes Paul back after about a year of being away. And we're told that after being introduced or seeing Timothy, it says in verse 2, which was well reported by the brethren. So in other words, he had a good reputation of those brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. So he had a conversion. He got baptized to give indication he was truly saved, because certainly baptism doesn't save him, but the baptism was a testimony, I am saved. And then when the brethren saw this young man, as one commentary said, they saw a young preacher boy here. He was well reported by the brethren. You know, we do what we do not to get the praise of men, but people ought to look at us and say, you know what? There goes a Christian. And that's what they saw in Timothy. So we've looked at his background. We've looked at his conversion. But I want, thirdly, to look at his missionary call. If you look at chapter 16 again of the book of Acts, it tells us that Paul makes a suggestion. Because he had led this young man about a year ago to the Lord. And he had a wonderful testimony of his baptism. And the people saw, man, there goes a young preacher there. And it tells us in verse 3, him would Paul have to go forth with him. So Paul said, you know, I think this would be a good young man to take with me, you know. And he says, in essence, I want you to go with me. Now, what a contrast to John Mark. Now, I don't want him back with us. He already messed up. But in this case, Timothy, I want you to come with me. And of course, who else did he have with him during that time? Silas. So Silas was with him as well. Now, 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. And hold your hand next. I'm going to bring you back there again. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18. Notice it tells us, Paul says to Timothy, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou mightest war a good warfare. So Paul basically said that there was a time in Timothy's life where maybe some early prophets said, you know, this young man can be used of the Lord. And he says that you had this time where maybe the church got together and said, this young man, we're going to let him serve in the ministry. And Paul reminds Timothy of that. Now, there was a problem, though. The problem was circumcision. And in Acts chapter 16, verse 3, it tells us, him would Paul have to go forth with him. And it says, and took and circumcised him. So that's interesting. And why did they circumcise him, verse 3? Because he needed to get saved? No, the Judaizers taught that you had to get circumcised to be saved. But there were Jews which were in those quarters, and they knew that his father was a Greek, which meant that because whether his dad didn't let him do it, or whether the fact that he was not a very dedicated dad in the synagogue, Timothy never got circumcised, which would have been anathema to a Jew. So the question we have to ask ourselves, okay, so why did Paul circumcise him? And I want to read this note that is in the Paul's Shadow, Friends and Foes of the Great Apostle. And it says this, one fact impeded Timothy's usefulness as a member of Paul's party. The Jews in those parts knew that Timothy was uncircumcised, and this had always offended them. For one born of a Jewish mother not to be circumcised would in effect to reject the Jewish heritage. For Timothy, who had a Jewish mother and had received a Jewish education, to remain uncircumcised meant he denied the acceptance of the Jewish circles. If he had confined his ministry to this native area, the absence of circumcision would have made little difference in the predominantly Gentile territory. But and this is Hebert, he says, it definitely did hinder Paul's method of working. Since Paul made it a practice to secure lodging in the Jewish headquarters of a new city and to begin work in the synagogue, his close association with an uncircumcised Jew would have scandalized the Jews. And it would also have barred Timothy from any work in the synagogue. Most Jewish homes would have closed their doors to him. Now, if you remember what Paul did, Paul, when he went into a city, where did he first go? Into the synagogue. And he would be welcomed many times by Jewish people. Then, when they rejected, he went to the Gentiles. So, in order to remove the barrier of Timothy, not to save him, this had nothing to do with salvation, to remove that barrier, he had Timothy circumcised. And now this is totally different than what you'll see in the book of Galatians chapter 2, because in Galatians chapter 2, we see that Titus, Paul refused to circumcise him, who was a Greek. Now, I don't know if you remember this. Why did he do that? Well, he did that because the Judaizers were saying, except you get circumcised, you're not saved. So, which shows us that a lot of times we do things not because of our, to get saved. I don't go to church to get saved. I go to church because I am saved. And there are things that I may not do in order to not be an offense to somebody else. And so Timothy, Paul says, okay, you're going to go on this missionary journey with me. And as we saw at the very beginning, he's going to spend the rest of his life associated with the great Apostle Paul. And so we see here this early life of Timothy. And we haven't even started on the missionary journey yet. But I want you to understand that being a Christian, we should be well reported of by the brethren. People ought to see us and say, there goes a Christian. And you say, well, what if you have a broken home? Well, God used Timothy anyway. And God used a godly mother, Eunice, and a godly grandmother, Lois, to send out one of the greatest preachers in the New Testament. No, he's not Paul, but he's very much used of the Lord in the way that God would use him. And so my question to you, are you being used of the Lord? Are you serving the Lord Jesus in whatever capacity God has given you? Father, we thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to look at this young man who was probably in his early 20s, who is going to be used of you in a powerful way by virtue of the fact that he is faithful to you and he's faithful to this great preacher, Paul. Now bless us, Lord, tonight. Help us to go our way. And Lord, regardless of our background, if we have been converted, help us to recognize we all have a missionary call. And it may just be to our neighbor. It could be the people at work. Whatever it may be, or wherever it may be, help us to be faithful for Jesus' sake. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming tonight.